Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
I love podcasting because you get to talk and meet really, really interesting people and hear their story and their journey that they have been on. Today's guest is Kevin Bupp, and he is only 38 years old, but he started investing in real estate at the age of 20. And he's going to share his story with us today and how his investing evolved. And now he specializes in mobile park ownership. He's also very community minded. And I love hearing stories of how people that have become successful are giving back to their communities. Have a listen up and enjoy hearing about Kevin Bupp from Sunrise Capital. How are you going, Kevin?
I'm doing great, Anne. How are you doing today?
I'm really, really happy because we've had rain, so that's most exciting around here.
Good deal. Well, we have not had rain. We've had very hot and humid weather, but no rain. So we're not in that season yet, but we'll get plenty of it here in the coming months in Florida.
You live in the state of Florida, so that's where a lot of people like to go and retire, I believe.
It is. Yeah, I live in Clearwater, Florida, which is a big retirement area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And has it changed over the years? Has it always been like that, or...
You know, I wasn't born and raised here. I've lived here for 16 years, but I believe so. I mean, it's a very warm year-round climate. We've got beautiful white sand beaches. The cost of living is relatively, you know, affordable. I mean, relatively speaking, I guess. And so it's just, I think it's a place where those from the northern climates, you know, the colder climates here in the U.S. tend to migrate to when they get older. You know, they get older, they get colder, and they want to go somewhere warm where they can go outside and walk and get exercise in December and not be shoveling snow and not be wearing, you know, three layers of clothing to stay warm. So I believe it has been for a long time.
Yeah. Okay. And you know a fair bit about real estate, don't you? Because that's where you've ended up. Were you always a real estate investor?
Yeah, I mean, not always. I mean, obviously, I had a childhood and did other things as a little boy. But when I was 19, as well, I was introduced to real estate. So, I mean, it's pretty much been my entire adult life. I've had a few other businesses outside of the real estate field, but real estate has always been at my core. And so, introduced at the age of 19, bought my first property at 20, and I'm 38 today, going on 39. So, I've been doing it pretty much my entire adult life.
Yeah, that's early and a great start for you to get into accumulating assets at an early age so that you can, I assume you're setting yourself up with a tidy cash flow for later on when you retire.
Yeah, that's the plan. I don't know if you ever retire. I think if you enjoy what you do, I'm not sure that the retire word ever really comes into play. So I don't think there will ever be a point in time, man, where I'll just completely forego my, not necessarily just my real estate activities, but just, you know, business in general and say, well, I'm just going to go relax and sit on a cruise ship or sit on the, you know, out by the pool for, you know, the next 20 years. I don't think that will be me. I need to be active and need to keep my brain functioning. And so, and I enjoy what I do. So I don't know if the retire word is actually in my vocabulary.
So you enjoy working with people?
I do. Yeah. No, that's definitely one of the big benefits that I found in being a real estate investor. In fact, that's one of the core competencies that I fulfill within our business, within my business. I've got other partners, but one of the primary objectives of my role with the company is dealing with new property acquisition. So I'm always you know, speaking with property owners, building relationships, meeting others at industry events, and just really staying in tune with our industry that we're in, and looking for more deals and lining up financing. So I really enjoy the people aspect of it. In addition to that, I get to deal with a lot of residents as well. We have a lot of communities where we have residents that we provide clean, safe, and affordable communities to live in. And so we get to interact with those residents. And it's enjoyable. I mean, it's a very social business. And I surely like that side of it.
Well, that's very good. And you've had a progression of the types of real estate that you've been involved in over the years. So could you like to explain your evolution?
Yeah, sure. I think I started very similar to how a lot of people start. I got started in buying single family rental properties. The very first couple of properties were attached, like row homes. They were in inner city area. Not very nice homes whatsoever. Very dilapidated and run down. You know, in the 20,000 and under price range is typically what we were buying things for, you know, putting another 15 to 20,000 into them and then turning them into rentals. And so that was my first foray, was getting in and renovating really rundown properties in the inner city of in Pennsylvania, where I grew up, and turning them into rentals, trying to build some cash flow. And, you know, I did that for a number of years, and then I moved to Florida and continued buying more single family homes, and then kind of graduated after a period of time, not graduated fully, but simultaneously while I was buying single family homes, started buying apartment complexes because there was a little bit more scale to it, and could acquire more units much more quickly and had some scales of economy as far as operations were concerned. And then along that period of time, also bought some other miscellaneous types of commercial real estate. Most of the time it was always housing. So single family homes, apartment homes. And then about 5 years ago, a little more than five years ago, I got introduced to mobile home communities, which is what we specialize in today, which again is housing. It's just a different form of housing, but it's affordable housing. And that's our niche today. That's what we spend all of our time in. So I no longer own any apartment complexes. I still do own a few, literally just a handful of single family rental homes, but I don't actively buy single family homes other than the one I live in. I don't buy investment single family homes. Like, we haven't bought apartment homes for a number of years, and mobile home parks is our space now. So that was kind of the graduation, I guess, from what year was that? I'm trying to think, 1999 to 2000 up to, you know, today, 2018.
Right. Well, that's a different story to a lot that I've heard, mobile home parks. And they occupy a bigger chunk of land. So is there competition for these facilities to turn them into something else?
Competition term than something else. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of mobile home communities that were built many years ago that, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago, the land that they were sitting on wasn't very valuable land. Maybe it was on the outskirts of town. It wasn't desirable. It wasn't in a path of progress. Well, obviously over the period of 40, 50, 60 years, times change, path of progress has changed. And now, you know, you'll find mobile home communities, not all of them, but, you know, there's numbers of them throughout the United States that sit on land that has a higher and better use, meaning that there's much more value in redeveloping that property into a, could be one of many things, could be a shopping center, could be an office building, could be an apartment complex, could be a baseball field. Yeah, I mean, there's many different things out there that these can be redeveloped into. And so that's not really part of our business. That's not why we buy them. We are not developers. We do not look to speculate. We do not purchase mobile home communities with the idea that we're going to redevelop it at a future date, although that could be an exit strategy for us. You know, we let that be an option, but that's not why we're in this business. You know, one of the beautiful things about this business is that, good and bad, the bad side is that it's got a negative stigma attached to it. There's some negative stereotypes that are associated with mobile home communities. And a lot of that really is due to there's certain owners that don't run them properly. And so when you don't run something properly, whether it be an apartment complex, a mobile home community, a single family rental in a bad neighborhood, I mean, you attract bad residents. And, you know, with bad residents, bad things happen, drugs, crimes, and everything else that goes along with it. Well, mobile home communities across the board have kind of been broad stroke brushed with this negative stereotype. And so what that means, it's a bad thing for the industry as a whole, but it's somewhat of a good thing, because it's what it's done is municipalities do not want more built. And so they typically will not allow or issue permits for new communities to be built. So if you went and you came to Tampa, Florida, or to Clearwater, Florida, where I live, and you had a piece of land and you went to the county or the city and said, hey, I want to build a mobile home park on this piece of land that I own, they would say, get out of my office. No can do. We're not issuing a permit for a mobile home park. So the beautiful part about that is that there's a barrier to entry. So when we buy a community that's in a good market, we don't have to worry about a new developer coming in and buying up a raw piece of land down the road and developing it into a mobile home community. So there's a very large barrier to entry, which creates a lot of demand for our product. So the downside, again, is that there's some negative associations with mobile home parks, but you know, all of our communities are very nice communities. We take pride in creating a very clean, safe, and quiet community for residents to live in, to raise their family in, and to be proud of. So not all communities have to, you know, carry the dredges of the community or of the world. You know, they don't have the low end types of riffraff that, you know, none of us like to associate with.
So there obviously is a demand for this type of housing. If you're not allowed to create more, how do you accommodate the demand for this type of housing?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. You know, we purchase existing communities, and for the most part, I mean, what is here is here. And so we provide, you know, that type of housing for the demand that's in that particular community or that city or state that we own that park in. But that's it. I mean, what we have is what we have. You know, there might be an option sometimes to expand a community. You know, you'll find quite often that there could be a mobile home park that has 100 developed lots, and maybe it has a 5-acre parcel of land right next to it to where potentially you could get approval to expand to add more lots. But that does happen. But it's not as common as you might think. It's a rarity. In fact, mobile home parks, it's a unique statistic, is that they're the only real estate asset class that has a diminishing supply. So there's actually, the number continues to go down every year. And so at the rate that they're being built, it's not nearly as fast as they're actually going down, meaning they're being shut down for different purposes. Most of the time it's for redevelopment purposes. Again, shopping centers, other types of commercial projects where there's a higher and better use.
Okay. And just to be clear, when you talk about mobile homes, they're not actually mobile, are they?
I mean, they are. That's a true classification. Most of the mobile homes, they still have axles underneath of them. They still have the ability to put wheels on them. But whenever they're taken into a community, they're pulled in behind a truck with wheels. They have axles and wheels. They're pulled in and they're set on their lot. And they're typically put on blocks, the wheels are taken off, the axles are taken off, and then they're actually strapped down. They're anchored into the soil, sometimes with concrete, sometimes just with, you know, like big screws into the soil. And so they're fairly permanent, but they surely can be moved. It's a matter of hiring a licensed mover and paying, you know, anywhere between $4,000 and $5,000 for a single wide mobile home to be moved. So, but they're very mobile. Now, you wouldn't be able to take your truck. If you have a truck or, you know, a pickup truck, you wouldn't be able to go back that up to a mobile home and haul it away. Your truck would fall apart. It'd be too heavy. So it's got to be a big commercial vehicle, like a tractor trailer type truck that would yank it out and move it down the road. So more than 95% of these homes, once they actually end up in a community, like when they leave the factory, they end up in a community, they stay there. There's a portion of them that might leave. Maybe someone sells it and someone pulls it out and takes it to another community. But for the most part, once they're there forever.
Okay. And typically, who lives in these parks? Are they retired people or anyone?
Everyone. Yeah, everyone. I mean, we've got young families that are just getting started that are looking for, you know, an affordable option. Like maybe they have the dreams of owning a stick boat home one day, but they don't make enough money or they haven't saved enough. And so they kind of step their way into home ownership, or they get into a community, they buy a mobile home. It's an affordable option for them. It's a safe place to raise their children. And then they graduate into maybe a single family home. So we have a lot of residents like that. On the other end of the spectrum, we have those that are downsizing. We have senior citizens that might have owned a stick built home, and they decide that they're empty nesters now. Their kids have gone away. You know, it's just the two of them. And they want to live in more of a community type environment, and they don't need as much space. And so they downsize and they purchase a mobile home inside a community. And then you really got everything in between. I mean, it's really all the above. It's not just the affordable aspect of what we do. You know, the other unique thing about it is there really is a community feel. I mean, it's something that you don't get with a normal apartment complex. And so what we found also is that even those that are renters, that rent, you know, that are habitual renters, they've rented their entire lives, they've lived in apartments their entire lives. Whenever they find out that there's an option to actually live in a mobile home versus the apartment, and a lot of times it's cheaper, you know, less expensive to live in a comparable sized mobile home than it is in the apartment. The mobile home, they've got their own front yard. They've got their own area to park their car. They can put Christmas lights out. They can put decorations on the outside. They've got a little yard for their kids to play in. Whereas in the apartment, they've got, you know, neighbors above, below, and side by side. And, you know, it's just they can't put Christmas lights out around the house because it's not theirs, right? It's the apartment. It's the apartment complex. And so we get a lot of folks that were renters that, you know, end up moving away from the apartment side and moving into mobile homes or mobile home parks because, number one, they get their own space. Number two, now they have a community feel which didn't exist in the apartment that they live in. You know, it's not too common that you get to know your neighbors living in an apartment complex. It's very common that you get to know your neighbors when you live in a mobile home community because it's very much like a neighborhood.
On the financial side of things, you've progressed from apartment buildings to mobile homes, so you must be happy with the returns you're getting out of mobile home parks.
Yeah, I mean, I'll answer it this way, and not to be vague with my answer, but I will say that you can make money in, you know, many different types of real estate investing. I mean, there's 1,000 or more different ways you can make money being a real estate investor, and it's, whether you're buying physical assets, whether you're buying, you know, mortgage notes and, you know, everything in between, tax liens even, a lot of different ways. But I will say that although the returns are great in our investments, we make a good, we're happy with the returns, we're happy with the investment vehicle, which is mobile home parks, the money is really made on the buy. And so we're really good at finding great opportunities and making money on the buy side, which, you know, will determine whether or not you make a good exit, you know, make a good profit on the backside of it. So I feel there's a lot of opportunity in the mobile home park space. I do feel that there's more opportunity in the mobile home park space today than there might be in buying apartment complexes here in the US. I feel like it's a little easier to find opportunities that will yield you higher returns. But again, you've got to be a very disciplined investor and buyer and find good opportunities and know what you're looking for. But yeah, so to answer your question, good returns, but you got to be good at your craft and good at finding the good deals.
Yeah, well, I've heard that before from an Australian chap that owns a lot of houses, mm-hmm. and he invests in the low end of the market in single dwelling houses, and he says again and again, it's what you pay at the beginning. That's where you
absolutely.
I've heard it before. That's where you make your money.
If you overpay at the beginning, then you know, unless you get really lucky and you end up, maybe you bought a house on like an oil field or something, and, you know, there's valuable, you know, minerals underneath the soil, and you get out of it. Or, you know, maybe the market changes. Like, I know you guys have gone through your different real estate cycles, and currently in the U.S., we've been in a recovery phase for a number of years. Here in Florida, the values have essentially recovered all the way from the bottom of 2008, 2009. They've recovered all the way, and they've actually exceeded that last peak. And so, you know, really, if you'd have overpaid back in 2010 for something, you know, based on the market in 2010, and you'd have just held on to it for 7 or 8 years, then you'd be fine. You know, so the market sometimes can make up for your mistakes, but I'd rather not rely on the market. I'd rather rely on my own expertise. And so I'd like to know, no matter what happens with the market, that what we're paying today, we can sustain any kind of downturn or any kind of roller coaster effect that the economy might have.
Yeah. And that's what the chap's name's Paul Flynn. That's what he has said, that when things are bad, you still make money in the low end of the market, whereas if you're playing in the high end of the market, you can get really badly burnt when things go bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely true. Yep.
Okay. Well, it's been interesting chatting about real estate. I believe you're also involved in your local community. So can we finish up hearing a little bit about what you enjoy doing?
Personally enjoy doing. I've got two young boys and a beautiful wife, so I enjoy spending time with them as much as possible. I enjoy boating. I live very close to the ocean, to the Gulf of Mexico, so enjoy that. But as far as my involvement in the local community, one of the things I really enjoy is I've been involved in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program for the past, 3.5 years. And so I'm a mentor. He was 12 when I met him, but today he's almost 16. He's 15 and a half years old. A boy that, lives with a single parent, lives with his mom. And so that's very rewarding and enjoyable to spend time with him and, somewhat be a male figure in his life, which he does not have and he hasn't had for a number of years. So that's great. And then not necessarily my local community, but I do head up a charity bike ride that we do once a year that helps feed thousands of families here in the local area where I live. So myself and 65 other bike riders ride nearly 300 miles over 3 days. And we take all the proceeds that were, fundraised during that period of time. And we donate to a local charity that's near and dear to my heart. We end up feeding, last year we actually had Hurricane Irma came and caused some problems. So we couldn't do the ride, but we still raised a lot of money. But typically we feed anywhere between 2,000 and 3,000 families during Christmas and provide their children with gifts that they can wrap and put underneath the tree. So deserving families that are less fortunate that we typically would get their names from churches and Boys and Girls Clubs and things like that. So that's very rewarding as well. So and lots of other things as well, but those are some of the big ones.
Well, that's one of the privileges, I suppose, of doing well, that we have the opportunity to give back, and it's been great for you to share.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Very rewarding. Very blessed.
Well, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure hearing about you and your achievements, and you're certainly setting yourself up for later on in life. Starting at such a young age, it's amazing how when you get on the right track early in your life, well, then things will be good for you once you get to your old age.
That's what I'm planning for, Anne. That's what I'm knocking on wood over here.
I suppose that's all of our challenges, is to get people to see the earlier they start, the better off they'll be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely be proactive and not be reactive when it comes to planning for your financial future. That's for sure.
All right. Well, thanks very much. And if people want to know more about you or find out more about what you do,
sure. Yeah, I've got two main websites they can find me at. My personal website, it's kevinbupp.com, and my last name is B-U-P-P. So kevinbupp.com, it can learn more about me as a person and the charitable endeavors I'm involved in. And I've got two podcasts. They can listen to one of the main podcasts there on that website. And then I've got a company website, which if they have an interest in learning about what it is we do with mobile home parks, the name of that company is sunrisecapitalinvestors.com. So they can read about our business, what it is we do, what kind of investments we take on. And again, those two ways they can reach me through the contact us page, and I'm not too hard to track down.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for being part of the Retire Well, Retire Happy show.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.